Good afternoon, everybody. It's 2 o'clock, and it's Tuesday, August 6, 2019. We're gathered for the Legal Counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room with all three commissioners attending. Our first item is a joint meeting of the Josephine County Board of Commissioners and the Josephine County Fair Board. It is for an executive session for the draft fairgrounds track lease agreement with Grants Pass Horse Racing, LLC, under ORS 192-660-2E. So we are going to be starting an executive session at 2:01 p.m., of which we will ask any members of the audience to step out that are not here for rightful business. Any members of the media are able to be present, but I have no script. I'm just going by memory. To not report on anything outside of this session that we're not supposed to. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So all representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session, and all other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberation or anything said about the subject during executive session, except to state the subject, general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we'll return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. And the recorder will be turned off at 2:02. I should document before we do that, we do have our fair director, our finance director, our property manager, and four members of our fair board present, along with legal staff and our executive office manager. And it's 2:02 still, turning off the recorder now. It is 3:21. We're back in open session. We had discussion with three, and direction for negotiation has been given as far as more or less, and no decisions have been made. So, with that, we're going to say goodbye to Chris.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we're going to continue as the Board of County Commissioners only in our agenda.
You want a red line?
Let's see what it says.
Good.
That's good. Draft order number 2019-blank in the matter of Josephine County Dog Control District transfer of Board of Supervisors authority to newly established board amends an order dated December 12th.
Thank you, Fair Board.
And we have Michael Weber, Public Health Director, joining us.
We do. As the, I'll just make a few preliminary remarks. As the agenda indicates, this really hasn't been visited since 1967 in significant manner. And so this is one of the...
We did have one previous meeting that you did not attend.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Okay. So decisions haven't been made. Let's say it that way, since 67. This has been on the books, and it's our recommendation that the board actually go forward with this course. Maybe I'll turn over to Leah, who's done all the legwork on this, along with Mike Weber, and can describe kind of the rest of it.
Yeah, this is just simply an order which has the functions of the Board of Commissioners pertaining to the Dog Control District go to a Board of Supervisors, which is allowed by statute, which consists of 5 to 7 members, two of which have to be related to the livestock industry. So this would place all functions of the Dog Control Board over to this new board.
The district.
I like it.
And this is the order that does that. Oh, this is the order that would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You took the word right out of my mouth.
I'm curious. So they'll have the authority of the district. What's...
Go ahead. I think I know where you're going with this.
The members, but then the next paragraph, shall have the authority to issue licenses. That's currently done by our public health department. Recommend fees according to Josephine County Uniform Fee Policy. The commissioners approve those fees. And enforce all county and state laws relating to the control of dogs within Josephine County. Just would like to hear more about that.
So that verbiage is pulled straight out of the state statute, and you are not obligated to pull that. In fact, I didn't. When Lee asked me to review it, I reviewed it on my phone and I missed that line. I think everything in there is correct except for the issuing dog licenses. The issue licenses, unless there's a legal reason why that you see
power to. And tell me how they can enforce all county and state laws relating to control of dogs within Josephine County.
So that's actually that's their purpose. That's them hearing the cases and making judgments as the dog control board.
Statutory penalties.
Yeah. Is this the right wording?
What you have in mind.
Enforcement is the animal control officers.
I see.
This is the...
It's an administrative review panel.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious about the wording.
The word issue, rather than oversee or...
The way I read it and is that it would be the new board, the Board of Supervisors, that would determine the policies about issuing the license, such as right now I think it's under state law, guide dogs do not have to pay for licenses, that type of thing. They could set the fees for the licenses in order to manage the dog control district. And in that sense, they would issue the licenses on behalf of the county.
So here's my concern. This would work if we were bringing the entire animal program under one department that's not under the authority of a sheriff or public health, and it all was under its own department with a board overseeing that, and we're kind of giving a civilian board. But to me, they have no authority of collecting fees or setting those fees under our charter. They can't enforce or order the ACOs to do anything. I don't know. To me, it's incomplete in the fashion. It's one thing to have them. If this only said that they would be the administrative panel that oversees decisions of the animal control officers and seizing, and the outcome of investigations, that'd be different. But this is giving different authorities that's essentially greater than I think we could do with this current system set up. And the last time we heard this was meant to be one-third of, and we're recommending potentially the animal programs go together under one program. So then they'd be giving oversight over those programs. We then talked about maybe getting a veterinarian to oversee and make policy recommendations. I don't see them as having a policy decision authority. I see them as having this is the hearings officer component of those policies that are in place.
The way I was reading the statutes, they can have as much or as little authority as you want to give them. So if you want them to have authority to issue licenses, you could give them that authority. If you want them to just listen to hearings, we can just pare it down to that.
I'm looking at the 609.0302. The Board of Commissioners has the authority to appoint the Board of Supervisors and provide for the terms, compensation, and other aspects of service by the board members, at least two of whom shall be connected directly to the livestock industry, and goes on down. That's, we're giving that Board of Supervisors the authority. I think that gives them the authority for county uniform fee policy and enforce all county and state laws. We make the laws.
Who issues licenses right now?
Our charter.
Relating to control of dogs within Josephine County. It says all county, we don't make any county laws or state laws relating to the control of dogs within Josephine County. We have some rules on dogs. Our county, it says our county and state laws. We don't have any laws. The county doesn't have any laws. We didn't make
the laws. So I don't personally support giving away our authority to make the policies currently, because there are departments. Unless we were given all of the department's functions to them that they can make policies over.
How do we give the Board of Supervisors the ability to hear all these dog controversy things? So I'm assuming so that we don't have to hire...
It's under current code and it's under state law.
A council?
I think you two are actually closer than you may realize. I think
we're this far apart.
Things are closer than they appear. So I'm actually agreeing with Commissioner Morgan. I think updating the language to simply state that this board is, and I would actually refer to them as the dog control board personally, but I know there's some nuance there. But as a dog control board, they will oversee the, adjudication?
That'll work.
The adjudication of I'm looking for some help.
Contested matters, dog versus human, and dog versus livestock.
Well, any hearings that would come before the Board of County Commissioners.
Well, what they'll do is they'll make the county's final determination.
Okay.
So the county's final decision.
I'm not looking at giving away our policy rights, our fee rights, and all that. I was only looking at having a body that could have those hearings and make those decisions on behalf of the board.
Which is what we now turn over to
a hearings officer.
The hearings officer can't dictate license fees or anything.
Uh-uh. So this is giving more authority away than I was understanding
okay,
we were
got
doing.
It.
Yeah, I'm not interested in giving away our authorities of the Board of Commissioners and setting the policy or the fees.
And I think it's that one line. It's the Board of Supervisors of the Dog Control District. I think simply changing that, stating that they will adjudicate contested decisions relating to...
It's in two places, too.
Dog cases.
So we need to change it up in the whereas and below.
I don't think it's just that, because it's also nuisance complaints, right? Running at large.
Sure.
So it's
all dog, all dog related matters.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. I don't want them setting the policy.
And we can make that change.
If there's policy recommendation or fees, that can be moved back to the board, and we would make that decision.
And all fees have to come back to the board anyway, right? In our fee schedule.
Yeah. Well, this would be you deferring that to them.
Take it out, yeah.
And I can't.
That element of it.
I can't defer that to them. Per our charter.
Per charter.
And the ordinance that was held in court, there was a vote that went to the voters that is upheld in court. Yeah. But we have a hearing once a year as a county on all fees.
Mm-hmm.
And
uniform fee procedure.
They can make a recommendation to it just like another department would, potentially. Mm-hmm. But it should rightfully currently, I mean, the ACOs are under sheriff. If there's fees there, but licensing is through you guys, it's like if there's a fee change, it would go through whichever of those department heads, either elected or department head, to us, not them making that direct thing. And their fees are not paying for the enforcement. They're simply that hearings officer that's receiving the outcome. Your office is still sheltering those animals. The sheriff's office is still...
Investigating and seizing
the animals and stuff like that. So the cost of licensing goes towards that stuff. We shouldn't be giving that away.
I think we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can make the changes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I agree with the idea of having a board to do the hearings.
I don't want Crom back.
So
just don't give him too much power.
Give him Crom ability to designate a dangerous dog.
Yeah.
What was your question? Well,
their ability to identify and designate an animal as a dangerous dog, which has implications on how the ACOs can enforce things in the future.
With that being a line that's included in there.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a lot of latitude there. Do you see otherwise?
No, I'm thinking it should probably, that question is going to be brought up.
So
I think it should be explicitly brought in.
It should have a whereas and a therefore.
In accordance with, they will have the authority to identify animals as dangerous dogs or potentially dangerous dogs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. That's a good catch. Does that make sense, Liam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just clarifying.
It's a contentious
issue. Not
changing
anything, but just clarifying what's up.
Sure.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, then it clears it up.
All right, are we good to move forward?
To the business session? Or do you want to see it again next week?
Oh, I don't know. Do you guys want to go to next week's weekly business session in Williams in the evening?
I think we need to get that done.
I don't want to see it in Williams on the evening. I'd rather it be the week after.
Yeah, it should be here.
I don't think we're in a big hurry on it.
We can bring back the next draft.
Bring it back.
It's taking us a year to get here. I don't think 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's
wait till Wally gets back.
My main concern is I'd rather it be a one that more people can attend, even though we're going to televise. So, okay, next on the agenda is draft order 2019. All right, let me get this right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
-047 in the matter of referring to Josephine County voters at the November 5th, 2019 election, a measure on formation of a rural fire protection district organized under ORS Chapter 478, establishing the district name Brant's Pass Fire Rescue District, providing for an election to form the district and authorizing a permanent rate limit for operating taxes for the district.
Yes, the board decided last week to go forward with the district, and now it's a matter of sending the ballot title and explanatory statement to the clerk, which, due to the timelines involved, is going to need to be decided on tomorrow. Decision. I think we've already got that on the agenda. Sound right?
Yep.
Anybody, anybody okay for tomorrow? But we wanted, since we have this meeting today, to at least give you a preview of things to come and an opportunity to weigh in and revise.
The maps are a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah, really only a couple pages are operative there. We've got the order on the top, and then the order on the top, standard procedure, and then the ballot title, which is, of course, limited in the number of words. The caption question and ballot summary, that's exhibit one to the order. You checking?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get through everything that's here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then exhibit two is the explanatory statement. And I think, Commissioner Fowler, you've been through with the last election in this process, right? Or were you, did we send anything? It's all getting muddled for me. Have you been through this process before?
Of forming a district?
No. Just sending a matter to the clerk of how
no.
that works. Okay, okay. So, yeah, so this is the standard process. It's is a kind of, sorry.
It's just a little different because it's a way, way longer order.
It is. It's a longer order, but in terms of the fundamentals, yes. So the board, through order, that's how you send questions to the clerk to place on the ballots. And, of course, you need to provide abundant instruction as to where the ballots are going to be then mailed by the clerk. And so thus we have a very thick exhibit attached to it there, too.
And, the angelfish that is Grants Pass city limits?
Yep. And so after after you do the vote, if you decide to vote on this tomorrow, then our office will see that through, or we'll our offices will see that through. Sorry.
The chair recognizes the chair.
Yes.
Question. In the ballot summary, it says the city would no longer collect funds through the existing public safety levy. Does one government entity have a right to say what another government entity would do?
Fundamental question, but they sent us that language, and we just
processed
it right on through. And they haven't, to my knowledge,
we made very few changes to their language, and they've, as far as I know, approved it.
And remember, it's actually the voters who are dictating to both entities what's going to happen here.
Right.
And so this is your option. So during one of the hearings, we did touch on how are you going to require the city to transfer its assets over to the district. And so maybe it's worth pausing in this meeting today to look at that. Those three bullet points there on the bottom of Exhibit 1. Make sure we've got all the concerns addressed that you want to have the voters decide on, if you want to have the voters kind of bind the city into action after, if this actually gets approved.
Looks good.
I have an issue with the wording of it in here. They don't currently have any fire stations. This is saying they're going to transfer fire stations to the district. They currently have public safety stations that co-locate police and fire services. And so, including...
I think it's a Hillcrest Fire Station is how it's named.
Is it?
I think it's Hillcrest Fire Station, but they moved the cops in there, you know, as an annex.
It's also the backup 911 station.
Parkdale, what is Parkway?
Parkway Public, is it
Parkdale
Public Safety or Fire?
Fire Station, I think, and Redwood Fire Station.
I know the police are there, too, though.
But the police are
probably
there,
too, They have a substation, and they have a couple lockers.
And they're going to continue with some sort of lease. What I heard, so they can still have police presence.
That's between the city and the fire district, but the real property will be turned over to the fire district.
It is their language.
It is. That's fine.
This is not
if the fire district tells the city cops they got to leave, they got to leave.
Yeah, that's not their language. That's one of the revisions that I put in based upon the discussion at the hearing.
Oh.
So.
They haven't. They've had maybe more opportunity than you have to look at it because it went to them last week. By Friday, maybe.
But you didn't have any input?
I don't think we
heard
that
at all.
Jay
came back and said he was fine with it. He was then going to pass it on to, I thought, Aaron and maybe Mark, because he wanted to know how different it was from Mark's language.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent him Mark's as well. So they had everything last week. We could check with them again, but I haven't. I'm sure they would have let us know by now.
Yeah, they would have, one would think. But
it's fine.
Not.
I
so,
just...
Well, what do we want to say about that? I mean, what more accurately captures how what the district's physical footprint
is? It is called the Parkway Public Safety Center. It is a fire station, but it's also... Separately, it was listed as the Parkway Fire Department. But...
And yeah, just instead of fire stations, it would say facilities or whatever.
Wording, but I just want to make sure that we're right. Not saying something that's not legal and not.
We probably ought to take a look at the feasibility study.
Should you just take out
because that's where it would have been at.
Okay, certain real property associated with the fire or something, and take out fire stations.
And certain real property to the district.
Certain real property to the district. Yeah,
then fire stations just drops out, and they can do their own lines about what it means.
That would be inclusive.
Does that cover?
So take out and fire stations.
Yeah.
Yep.
Require the city of Grants Pass to transfer fire equipment, fire personnel, certain
real property to the district.
Fire equipment, fire personnel, and certain real property
to the district.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just don't do it.
Yeah, that way you get away from that semantics.
Okay.
Does that keep it
safety.
Clean?
Yeah, I like it. Nice catch.
So we'll need to change the word of number.
Sorry for the on. I didn't have lunch, so I kind of.
You're going to make us all
short blood sugar.
Well,
you see, you got me to it.
Yeah.
I mean.
What did the $1.79 net for the IC, the proposed rate would raise approximately 6.7. So the old rate was 6.0, 5.8?
Yeah, sure. I think it offset it, didn't it? It wasn't.
Well, you get 203 to offset $1.79.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, I think they've been taken from the general fund over there.
They're probably.
They're not fully... They take all the property taxes, and then there's a little bit of general fund that's paying that fire. That's why there's a gap there. Yeah. So then they'll not take it out of the general fund.
I had a guy call me, and he was, what the heck did you do that for? It's on the ballot. I says, we want to bring it to the voter. If the voter looks at it and says they're not in favor of it, it'll go down.
I wonder if they didn't realize what we put there.
Sure has a chance of passing or going down.
Fire-specific equipment.
Has a chance of passing or going down.
Fire, that's what I'm worried
about. I don't think it'll be a tie.
That's different than the real property, though. Well, did you understand it was the real property?
Yeah.
Fire specific equipment, personnel, and real property?
I don't see where it says real property myself, but...
Well, it actually refers to station, public safety station.
Well, it says this will include most equipment located in the stations. Mm-hmm. Not the stations.
But did they call them public safety stations?
Yep.
Then maybe that's what we call them, public safety stations instead of fire stations.
Okay.
That sounds good. And they can work out. If this thing goes, it's the city's problem where they put their police and fire together.
Yeah, this is
they have to work that out with the district.
I'm just wondering if the voters of Grants Pass realize that when they are voting on this, it was including giving away fire stations.
I don't know.
They already paid for the fire station, so...
Yeah, it does say we'll grant ownership of the facilities to the district.
I mean, you would be charging,
the
people that already paid for the fire station to pay for them again.
I don't think we should even have that in there.
I don't know if it's a true statement, actually. We should probably talk to Jay.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Want to call him right now?
No, I don't know if that's necessary. I don't want to catch him. I don't know what kind of answer we...
I'd rather ask you for tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I can ask him for tomorrow. Well, it's up to you.
Yeah,
it's up to you.
That's true.
The city will grant ownership of the facilities to the district or provide a long-term lease. It says grant ownership of the facilities.
Or.
Yeah, or.
There's
right?
That or.
Or provide a long-term lease. No-cost lease.
Yeah, well, so. They figure the citizens already paid for it once. They don't want to pay for it again.
Exactly.
So,
but we want to make sure there's no language in our ballot statement that is not truthful in every way.
Well, sure. you want to do the right
kind
thing.
Kind of a requirement.
Darn it!
Well, do you guys have time to work that out, do you think?
We're going to have to make
the time. I say we call him.
Because it's tomorrow morning.
I say we call him.
Who do you call him?
Jay. He may not answer.
He don't know who it is.
If not, does it need to be he or Aaron?
Well, if it matches that one.
Hi, this is Jay, Finance Director with the City of Grants Pass. Please leave me a message and I will...
Well, I think you're on the right trail. It has to match that language.
Yeah.
Track it.
I mean, it's close, maybe in a more abbreviated form, of course.
Yeah,
you only have 5 words to mess with. Sure,
you only get 5 more words.
I don't know if we're going to give in a proper way.
We could say to provide fire-specific facilities.
Good afternoon, sir.
Aaron Kubik, Willie Morgan with the Board of County Commissioners. We are in session right now, and I have you on speakerphone.
Okay.
We are discussing the order that is going forward tomorrow morning, and we had a question of wording that we thought was critical to get determined today before tomorrow's hearing.
Okay.
So we had sent the ballot measure Exhibit 1 statement over to the city last week, and we had some wording at the bottom of it that I questioned if it's the accurate statement. I just want to make sure we have that wording right with you. And the statement was that forming the district would, the first one was create a permanent funding for the Fire Rescue Service, replace City of Grants Pass Fire Department. But the third one is where there's a question. Require the City of Grants Pass to transfer fire equipment, fire personnel, certain real property, and fire stations to the district. Looking at a different statement, it says that you guys will either transfer ownership or a long-term no-cost lease. So wanted to make sure that wording was accurate or if we need to change that because...
Yeah, the ownership long-term lease would be, land or long-term lease would be more accurate than the transfer of real property.
Yeah. Do you have your paperwork in front of you, Aaron?
I don't.
I just texted it to you on your phone, the part we're talking about.
Okay.
So you could see it.
Okay.
So the three bullet points... I first question if they're fire stations, because currently they're called public safety stations, or maybe they were fire stations, but, and then it was like, okay, is it going to be, we just don't want to put anything that's not true in there.
And you have you only have 5 words to work with.
Well,
well, it is.
We got
170 to 175 is our max. Yeah. You got 5 words to work with.
Yeah.
We can take away.
Yeah,
so you've got to cut down that sentence anyhow.
No, we have room for 5 more words.
Oh, okay. You've got room for 5 more words. Okay. Prior to the City Grants Pass to transfer fire equipment, fire personnel, and certain real property and fire stations to the district. And certain property. And fire stations to the district, because it could be real or personal property, but...
And change fire to public safety stations?
Maybe we can ask him what is exactly happening.
Yeah, it's...
What is exactly going to happen?
I guess currently right now they're public safety stations.
What exactly is going to happen?
Yeah.
Let's ask him that.
So, Aaron, so that we're truthful, what... I don't know where you guys saw the paperwork that
it's
said...
In the feasibility study.
In the feasibility study, it said ownership or long-term lease. So whatever we put will be held accountable per law, so we want to make sure it's accurate.
So if you put ownership or long-term lease, that would be appropriate. Do you have the space to do that?
So what if we put transfer of fire equipment and fire personnel?
And then another bullet?
To the district.
Uh-huh.
And then ownership or long-term lease of real property.
Provide ownership.
Or stations. Yes.
How about fire equipment, personnel, and related stations at no cost to the district? You're not defining what that is, but and related stations. So those are all your fire stations, whether you call them together or not, at no cost to the district.
What about access to the fire stations? What if it's access to fire stations at no cost?
And related access to the fire station?
No, because that wouldn't be correct. Because if you had access to the fire stations, and yet they were, then therefore the city is the one maintaining the building and structure at no cost to the district.
Is it what's going to happen exactly? Is it going to be shared?
We still need what we would like to do is transfer over the structure and lease from the district square footage for our police substations.
Okay. That's different than what I thought.
And will Hillcrest still remain a backup 911 center in your transfer over to the new public safety or police station?
That would be something that would need to be negotiated ultimately with the district. We've got that new emergency management facility, of course, in the new public safety building, but to have Hillcrest as a backup would be appropriate to negotiate in with the district.
Maybe you shouldn't buy a sign for that public safety station, because it may be a police station.
You're right.
Just saying. I know, right? Depending upon the vote.
Okay.
So what do you think,
Pat? Do we take any wording of the stations out?
So just to be clear, the city is going to transfer the real property for all of the facilities and then to the district and then lease back from the district?
No, we'd be looking at looking at something, an agreement like what we have with the Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce has a building and structure and is responsible for that building and structure. It's theirs. Mm-hmm. But they do lease for $1 a year the property that it sits on from the city.
Okay, so you're not looking at getting rid of the property, just the buildings on the property.
Yeah.
The city,
city wants to maintain the land.
Okay. That's quite different.
Yeah, I think we can make that work better.
Okay. If we put something together and ship it over to you to look at, can we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
The vote's at 9 a.m.
Yeah. We're going to do that this afternoon.
Don't go home early.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm here.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, clearly they didn't look at it.
Not that part.
Not that part, anyway.
Right.
Okay.
But now you know. That was a great question. Because now we have that. It's easier for you to write something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And knowing's half the battle.
It really is.
Yeah, if you know.
It's about three quarters here.
What's the deal? What's the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
All right. So
we'll put something in.
Anything else? Right.
Yeah.
Good. Do it.
This won't vary without the
size. Nice.
You know, get it to him. And
the Bambulance. Yes. Okay.
Bambulance.
Okay, next on our agenda is draft contract with American Medical Response, AMR, for ambulance services and recommended changes to contract. And we welcome back Public Health Director Michael Weber.
Yeah, commissioners.
And the good news is we met as an EMS board last week, and so we have kind of come to some agreements and negotiations based on the red lines that you guys saw. Last week we gave you AMR's response to those red lines, and then when we met as an EMS board, we realized there was a couple things that weren't quite ready for decision. So now we're prepared to give you those responses.
Right.
Well, this is the same one that you have.
Right, it's just...
Do you want to go ahead, Michael, or do you want me to do it, or what do you want?
I was just pulling it up. If you want to go ahead and start, and we can...
Okay, so I think it'd be easiest to probably start with AMR's concerns that they had.
Sure.
And I am trying to find Wally. Found Wally. Just a second, I'm looking for the email that you forwarded it to me. AMR response letter. Here we go. So AMR had concerns over essentially items they said would increase their costs. And by increasing their costs would be a concern of service to the community, because currently most of their ratepayers are on Medicare, Medicaid, and that reimbursement is at a flat rate. So no matter what AMR changes their rates to be, they're going to be paid a flat rate from Medicaid and Medicare. And so even if they increase their rates to try to cover these extensions, it would mean they're not going to collect them because they only get paid a flat rate for the most part. So they wanted to be very intentional about the increases in the contract that would cause them. So the four elements they saw as causing significant costs. The first one was to outfit AMR crew members with technical rescue coats, helmets with eye protection, extrication gloves that cost about $20,900. And they did not oppose this and agree to, and we want to make sure that keeps in there. That it should not just be the paramedics, it should also be the basic, because both would be assisting on a rescue, potentially in a car crash, and need the protective gear, as they're providing life-saving services to that individual in that rescue situation. So that one they do not oppose, and we want that to go forward. The second one was equipping each cardiac monitor with carbon monoxide CO monitoring, and that cost $26,880. The piece that we left out of this is that we actually, as a group, had recommended we go back to our medical advisor that is both over the ambulance and the fire districts and the 911, and allow that doctor to weigh in on if this is a recommended treatment course that he would support as the medical officer over these services. And Michael was able to get a hold of...
Yeah, in short, he said that he did not see the benefit gained from having that equipment on board as being worth the rather excessive cost of including it. So he just recommended against it. It's not a standard of practice as of now. He said if that changes at the state level, he may be interested. He also isn't aware of any cases where having it on board would have changed the actions of the first responders.
So we had one fire chief asking for it, not any of the others in the room. AMR responded by saying they don't carry this on any of their ambulances in Oregon or Washington, and they cover Seattle, they cover Clackamas County, some other big areas, and they don't
carry them.
It's
a CO detector?
It's not an ambient detector.
No, it's the amount of CO in your body.
Correct. So it would be able to detect what the person has, but they say they would be able to identify those issues through other patient symptoms. And it would be different if it was something they're wearing and they walked into an environment and it gave an alert saying, hey, you have low CO2, get out of here quick.
Canary in the coal mine.
Correct. That's not what was being recommended. And that changed the outcome of the recommendation of the group.
Yep.
To being, we don't see this as necessary to provide service to the community's patients, that it wouldn't change the care given. And you should know that we really have, our board has the manager of the ER there. It has a doctor from the ER. We have a medical doctor that's the advisor who was also consulted, not only paramedics and then different fire agencies.
Well,
so
I think it sounds like the one chief went to a seminar or a deal. What do you call those when you
conference
or
that was a really cool toy.
Yeah,
that
was cool. What does that do?
Yeah.
You know. You can buy anything you want from there, but it sounds like if they've done the work and nobody else seems to be on board with it,
the medical advisors.
Well, and he conceded. He said that he would defer to the medical advisor's recommendations.
Right. Who said no, but if they change their mind down the road, we can renegotiate
If it becomes validity and use it, having one, then you'd want to put it on, but let's use that, let them figure that one out.
It'll be the plaintiff's bar that really enforces that kind of requirement.
Yeah, exactly.
Outcome.
When it's required, it'll be...
They'll put them on without the contractual.
So this next item, number three, is the one that came with the highest ticket as far as dollar amount. And that is that they wanted to provide a 24/7 on-duty supervisor that's not assigned to an ambulance. And that would increase the amount of cost by $268,800 a year. So this would require them to hire three paramedics outside of the standard. And we realized there was some protocols in place in current practice that could be improved upon, that could get the outcome that they were looking for, that a supervisor could respond to the scene and make decisions, because they have two levels of supervisors currently. They have a line supervisor that is assigned to an ambulance some days, and on days they have a floater and extra, they are assigned outside. And both fire departments said it is helpful to have that supervisor available to respond. But separately, they have their administrative staff that is also on call every day that is available to respond in a certain circumstance. So they wanted to make sure the toning procedures and dispatch were correct, that they had the right call sequence and dispatch updated to make sure that, because the operations manager and operations chief could respond and act as that extra person above when the line supervisor is on an ambulance. So this was one that they agreed to change the procedures right now to make sure the protocols are in place. And if we determine it's not enough, they would revisit and see about trying to get the staffing to allow that supervisor to do that. But I don't think that we need it in the contract at this time.
Yeah, I would agree. I understand what they were looking for, and I think that there is a way to go about doing it. But the cost increase was phenomenal. What was it, like 30%?
It was like a 41% increase.
Well, that was for everything. 35% was this one request.
Yeah, 35 or 36 just for this.
Wow.
And that wasn't, I don't believe that was actually accounting for the fees that they wouldn't be able to collect because Medicare wouldn't pay over. So other clients would have to increase even further. At the end of the day, the juice just isn't worth the squeeze on this one, I don't think.
So we, in the group, agreed that we would look at those other protocols of call out and response and see if that would meet the need. So,
did they ever share with you what their non-collectible debt was?
They did, in the same letter that was sent out, I thought, say that they have a 5% collection.
That doesn't get collected?
No, that...
Goes to collection? I'm looking at, if you call Asante and say, how much did you have to write off last year as non-collectible debt?
My bad. If the increases went in, they'd have a 5.9%, meaning that we only raised $5.90 per transport on any new revenue from a $100 rate increase. So 5.9% is all they would collect based on their current collection factors in the process.
Cost of doing business in emergency services.
With Medicaid and Medicare that have fixed rate responses. The fire departments weren't so receptive to billing. They're like, whatever, just deal with it. The ER staff person and manager both were like, oh, we get it. We understand that. I mean, they were the ones that came to the defense of AMR on the billing stuff because they deal with that in the ambulance. And I asked the chief, do you bill for medical services? No. Then that's not fair for you to ask them to bill beyond what they get reimbursed for, because you're asking them to do something they can't feasibly respond to. Okay, so the last one was provide a half-time community outreach specialist.
Yeah. Is the board in consensus on that point to come out?
The
24/7
supervisor.
The EMS board's recommendation was to wait. That they agreed that the other steps that could be taken could maybe get us there. And if not, AMR was willing to say, we'll come back with something if this doesn't meet the needs. So we gave a provision within the EMS board for complaints to come back and have them respond to that.
And they recommend to pull that out then, the language?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. My suggestion is pull it out and look at other mechanisms for meeting the same end state.
And the EMS board was in recommendation with everything we discussed that day.
Right,
okay.
It's two different things.
So then under, we can look back at that if you want to bring something else back. So, and then separately, number four that AMR had a concern about cost was provide a half-time community outreach specialist in the amount of $32,000. My recommendation was instead of them hiring a part-time position for this, is that they articulate very clearly what their outreach and provide a calendar of what their outreach is as a whole agency in our two ambulance service areas. because we have ASA-1, which is Illinois Valley, and we have ASA-2, which is everything else in Josephine County. And right now, what we see from AMR is they'll give us a list of everything they did in a year, but it doesn't give you a timeline of when and who and all that other kind of stuff. So I asked for better reports on exactly what is your outreach, by whom, which positions in the company are doing it, which areas, which ASAs, and let's see where the gaps are. And then recommendation would be after we see where the gaps are to make sure we're filling that. But their counter was they do a lot of outreach. I just don't necessarily think they're telling their story well on how they're doing that outreach.
Well, and ultimately, you know, having them report back on what they're doing may get them to pay a little bit closer attention. We'll see an increase anyhow. Just because that's the kind of thing that tends to fall to the wayside in an operational environment. So,
but this is everything from they do first aid CPR training. They do outreaches with the high schools on emergency response and different stuff. They do a lot of things, and the list is substantially long. But put it on a calendar year. Let's see when you're doing those outreaches. Let's see who's doing it. And are they all in Grants Pass? Or are they also in the Illinois Valley? So let's just document it and see where the gaps are, and then come back and see if we need. So really the recommendation was to go with AMR's responses that they were okay with the first one, but they asked that the other ones be taken off. And the group had that consensus, but we also said we need to start now with talking about the contract in 5 years and ongoing conversations on the EMS board about service levels and responses, and be preparing for that we have the stuff in place before the next one comes in 5 years. And but for now, agreeing to this. Was there more? I thought there was one more we added to. Do you recall?
Not for pulling in front of the BCC, I don't believe.
Okay, so then I am trying to see if my PDF will come up, and I got a black screen, so let me see if I can get this somewhere else. I didn't know if there's any other red lines. Those are the only things that AMR had concern with. Is there anything else that should be brought up?
Franchise fee was discussed last week.
I kind of offered that we leave it flat, mainly because we were supposed to get feedback from other service areas on what the franchise fee amount was. But if raising the rates would cause a service impact in the community, until we can see that we could do more with it, my recommendation was to leave it the same, and we can renegotiate next time with more research.
Yeah, it's a minor issue as well, but for some reason that's on the books as a contract fee, not a franchise fee. So
it is?
I think it's just a documentation error, but yeah, I checked with Arthur and he said it's how it's audited in the system is as a contract fee.
Okay, that doesn't matter how it's audited if the contract says it's a franchise fee. I thought the contract says it's a franchise fee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a minor thing that we need to probably make sure that's lined up, because public records would be confusing.
The audited. Okay, well.
But he's aware. I already talked about it.
Okay, so $25,000 a year. And that's consistent with the discussion last week as well, I think.
Correct.
So that's where they were.
So we wouldn't change that to contract fees?
No.
No.
We want it to be franchise fees. We need to make sure finance has it documented as a franchise fee, not a contract fee. It is a franchise fee.
Right. Now, if we do change the contract fee, I think that means I get it.
Yeah,
no. It's a franchise fee.
Then we better change.
Okay, were there any other red items that you guys, any other contract things that you guys
No, I'm so glad we have the emergency board to vet this for us.
We went page by page through everything.
That's great.
Okay.
I was talking during that last part. Sorry.
Nothing.
It was so important.
Yes.
Yeah, that was critical. You missed it?
We were grateful for our EMS board.
You're probably going to have to.
Yeah. They really need to work on this.
Yeah.
It sounds like consensus was achieved, and that's really triumphant.
Yep. I do think that next time, as we're documenting things that we'd like adjusted and changed, that knowing that there's so many different documents that need to be changed, that we can be gathering that data and doing them all at once versus...
Sure. Yeah, that's really valid feedback.
Because one of the things that even at our meeting last week, they have the list of who the membership is. And one of the things that I'm very much wanting to change is that we can update the membership by a board order, not an ordinance. we have one position that requires the RCC Emergency Medical Services Director to fill. That person sat on that role for 20 years and stepped down saying, I don't want to do it anymore. But there's no one else in RCC that fits that requirement. So we have a position on the board that's required that we can't fill. And so we talked about who the makeup should be that would be a better fit, but we need to have the ability to change that easier. So I think in the ASA plan, we had made a recommendation that it would be updated by board order. I don't know if the contract addresses it. And then I know we have the ordinance we got to follow up with.
They do have to send a representative to the EMS board in the contract. That was one of the red lines. Did you get that?
Is she talking about the makeup of the board in general?
The makeup of the board in general, and what did you see?
It's not going to be in the contract.
No, but I guess addresses, but not the particular point you're making, I suppose.
It's probably in the rules and in the ordinance.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that the next two forms that we fill that we're getting in that, because they haven't changed the makeup on our agendas yet, because we haven't got through all the processes that says we can.
We have to hear back from the ASA plan first.
The state's still going
to
weigh in. They said 60 days, like 120 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
How long ago?
We can check.
It's been a bit. We did make a lot of changes, so.
True.
And well,
we
a
definitely
lot
appreciate
forward.
Our colleagues at the state who are listening.
Yeah.
You might want to speak up.
Yeah, I know. They didn't hear that.
Okay.
So what does it say in there? Because I can't get mine to come
up. Oh, actually, it says contractor shall provide an administrative representative to the Rogue Valley Fire Chiefs Association and to the EMS board. That's what they hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was just that they would be there and we...
It's not the composition of the
no,
board.
No. But it's not really the appropriate place for them.
There's going to be someone showing up at those meetings. Yeah.
They already do.
So,
yeah. We actually disagreed with this, I thought. I thought this was one of the areas that we said, why is this in there?
We put that in there.
Well, that is at the request.
Right. That's what I mean. I meant the county.
Mm-hmm. I think the wording of whatever. So remember how we disagreed with this? That he shows up when he's needed, but... that we didn't want it to require him to be there? We had that conversation.
I think we pulled back from that because his response was that he comes to them anyhow.
Yeah.
For the EMS board. I don't know about the
I know the EMS board he comes to anyhow. He's a voting member of the EMS board. I don't know if it's supposed to be, but he's listed as a voting member of the EMS board.
The other problem is if you make it as needed, you have to define... who makes that call, and that gets a little bit.
Well, this said contractor shall provide an administrative representative to the organizations whenever requested. So that's those organizations requesting. I honestly thought that we had agreed not to.
Want to add the words whenever requested to the end of that?
We could. Just adding those back in.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't object to that. But.
Okay, good. Well, catch. I think that's just about all of them anyway.
Okay.
So.
Super.
Good. Okay. So, all yours. We'll run that over to AMR, and if they agree to it and send back two signed copies, we'll add it to the next following business session for the board's consideration.
Okay. And then our next item on the agenda is draft of administrative policy F5 public records request.
Yep. So So the management team for the county had an opportunity, and like officials had an opportunity to provide their feedback that came back in on Tuesday. So I presented that to the board, and it was decided we'd go ahead and. Have a chance to look at that hopefully over the course of the last week and resume the discussion. And I can kind of orient to a certain portion of this to kind of prime.
Sure, my computer is just failing to respond. I apologize.
Okay. Well, so maybe I'll just give you my copy. So at number 4, that's the heart of it. The rest of this is attempting to encapsulate existing practice.
Okay. So I didn't necessarily, this is an area I had concern about. So the section four is that under the current status with Wally being an elected official and decisions he makes about releasing records, they're appealable to circuit court because he's an elected official. By moving this to an appointed member of our staff, they're now appealable to the district attorney, for which we control his budget and everything else of all his staff and approval of stuff. I just personally prefer it to be consistent that it stay to the circuit court, the appeal. So the recommendation that I had, we kind of talked about, is that all decisions are the board's decisions on records, that we are the records management, but we're designating the review by our executive office manager, of which in these circumstances, and a list that we would determine with Wally and the board, determine that these ones can be pre-approved, that if they meet these criteria, they're automatically approved. If they don't meet these criteria, they look and warrant further review, of which that brings it back to the board making that decision, whether it be the board designee or like one of the board members as a designee to review those, or as the board as a full, so that essentially it's the board making the decision. Our designee is only checking off ones that we've pre-approved of sorts, but any non-pre-approval would still be our decision of denial or review. And that way, it's the circuit court who we have no control over their budgets or their positions and no retaliation of conflict of interest whatsoever by keeping it at that level.
Well, and the reason we're moving it out of legal would be because he's an elected official, and it triggers the...
That's certainly one major consideration, yeah.
Right.
Others would be that, in all practicality, if this office is making the decision, then a challenge in circuit court would require the decision-maker, I would expect, to actually become a witness in the case. And that's a very complex situation indeed. So rather than being an advisor to the decision maker, we get into a situation of, there it is.
Right.
Privilege and what have you, suffice to say. But, so this would actually create consistency throughout the county for all records for which the board is the custodian. And, the default appeal route would be to the district attorney. The exception, of course, is built in to the policy that the RMO may refer any request to the board, at which point the only available route of appeal will be the circuit court.
Lower court ruling. RMO is the first court, your first stop.
That's your decision maker for the county.
RMO says, I don't know, I'm not comfortable with this. If she makes the decision, then it can go to the district attorney. But if the RMO says, no, I think I want to refer this to any request for public records to the board for determination. If it gets to the board's level, their only appeal is to circuit court.
Yes.
And what my recommendation is that all of them technically go to us, but we designate certain ones that are kind of pre-approved that she can pre-approve on our behalf, but that all decisions are ultimately ours. We've just already said these are the ones that are easily approved. Ones that would have any further, we don't pre-approve these ones, so they have to go to us.
Right, but I in particular am not a public records wonk, and so I'm going to want advice from legal counsel if there's a very complex one or one that is
true, dicey. As would our staff. Mm-hmm.
Right, and so there, that avenue is still open. I don't know if it's in the red line anywhere, but...
It's still. Yeah. That would be the practice. This office would be advising the decision maker.
Okay, so it would take a lot of weight off, but you're still in the loop.
It doesn't take away that it's still ultimately our decision.
Right.
Which is already the case, because the board is already technically,
yes.
You're already...
It's still our decision.
Right.
But you've been acting on our behalf,
yeah.
but you're trying to not be. But I was worried about, when I first heard about this, I was worried about unintended consequences and just the potential. And quite honestly, I trust our integrity. I think that we are people that would not be retaliatory and this and this and that. But to put the right things in place would be that's why it's a circuit court that's making the decision over the board's decisions or elected official, not somebody at the same...
How many of these do we have a year?
Oh, last year my office alone did, I think, 100.
Public requests?
Yeah.
How many of them were challenged, though, got to the district attorney level or the board of county commissioners level?
I would be going off the top of my head on that, which is probably not worth doing at the moment. Very few.
Because I really don't know if I've ever seen one.
We have seen a couple.
Very few.
I remember a couple that came to us.
There were a couple. The ones that came here had to do with smoke jumper, basically, transaction. John Pappas appeared on the agenda a couple times. Sean Hall appeared on the agenda a couple times for requests that they had put in. And then, you know, I referred them to the board. I know, right. And then there had been previously record requests that were considered that I did put on agendas for the board to consider. Well, anyway, there it is. Yeah. It's rare in the existing process. But I mean,
I like it moving closer to the commissioners.
Yeah.
I like that side of it. I just making sure there's no holes in it.
And I like the thing that there's a lot of things that have been put on your office. And we're looking at ways that we can try to help ease and get things through and focusing on. So some of the resolutions and orders and stuff would be coming back over to our staff. The public information would potentially come back over here. So we, you know, that's also something that we can, with the web formation, create a form online that there's a process of. And how easy is it to respond? How much staff time to respond? Matter of fact, that is something at the conference. There were multiple software agencies that offered public information request responses and helped assist in that. Matter of fact, I forwarded one to you, said, hey, should we look at software as a way to help us with this process?
Yeah.
And it may decrease time. There may be a small fee involved with it, but if it helps decrease time overall, it would save us time and energy, the potential. But it allows you to be advisory versus decision maker.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to lose that we are the decision maker.
Right.
And it's not on her shoulders. She's acting as our agent. She's not a decision maker or a policy maker. That's us. So how do we do this in a way that navigates safely, that gets the processes done quickly, because there's time frames involved?
She is a decision maker.
She is not per her position in that category.
Decisions of the RMO are appealable to DA.
Well, that's why we can change this wording.
I'm looking at A.
And this is just it, though, is I'm saying they're not her decisions, and this wording needs to be changed. That all decisions are of the Board of County Commissioners. But in these circumstances, we have authorized them to be auto-processed by staff. If they are not auto-processed, they come before the full board or the board's designee. So it's not a staff person making that decision.
In practicality, I fear that might not be actually possible.
Okay.
What you could say is...
What if you're just saying
that? And this is by no means to poo-poo or even come close to that. But, personally identifiable information. An animal control officer's report. Sometimes you redact the name, sometimes you don't. You just have to know what the law calls for.
So why are we switching it when, I mean,
because
if you have to have someone that knows the letter of the law on public information response like that.
And I'm 20 feet down the hall. It has been contended even very recently that this office is not actually the custodian of all public records in the county.
Except
and
through policy.
But that's another statute to parse through as well. But it's another hurdle of analysis that gets thrown in. And so it's a very clean way to address all of these situations, I think, to put a decision maker, a centralized decision maker, within the county structure and assign that person as the officer making decisions. But what you're really talking about here is whether the the default is going to be circuit court of the district attorney.
Mm-hmm. I think so, but I was just reading 4A, and 4A says all decisions regarding public records for which the Board of County Commissioners is the custodian are considered decisions of the RMO.
So this is our wording, though, that legal has recommended. This is not anything that's approved in law yet. See, it's red. It's changed. It's new, recommended.
Proposed change.
It's proposed change because it's red. So this is, if we don't want it to be this, now's the time that we say we want it edited further.
Well, I'm just going by, you said that the RMO is not a decision maker. That the board is a decision maker.
That's because it's based on who do we designate. We don't have to designate her. We can choose somebody else.
So basically, I'd be the designee. And then so with that.
But this also says on every decision, you can refer back to the board. That's what B says. So
she'd only be taking the low-hanging fruit and sending it back out. And there might be a potential for more things to come by us. Because it's not going through legal.
Legal would still be an advisory, correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so for those things that would be above maybe my scope of legal knowledge, I foresee me going to legal counsel to get their advice on where that stands.
And on those, I'd say you refer to the board, and the board makes the decision.
That's what the policy says.
Say it again.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I'm trying to clarify what you said.
Well, that's what the policy calls for.
Well, the policy says all of her decisions are appealable to the DA.
Yes, except for the decisions that she sends to the board.
I think we're saying the same thing. I'm just saying it differently. That essentially, we're giving her permission to approve these ones and everything else comes to us is the same as saying, she knows these ones are straightforward. I can just put them through. They're not going to be appealed. But these ones I am going to send to the commissioners to make that decision. I mean,
in conjunction with legal counsel?
Right, I'd say...
Well, you guys are advising our office in all of them.
Right.
So
I think it's hard, though, to get to a, cookie-cutter thing to say these are...
It ain't possible to do that.
Yeah, it's not.
I would like the minutes for the advisory board of last week's blah, 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 blah. Here you go.
Yeah.
That's what I see as those cookie-cutter yeses. Something that's already public record, we're simply just providing the document.
I want emails and I want text messages. No, go to the board.
Do we get public records requests such as that right now?
Our office processes requests for advisory boards. We say on every minutes or every agenda, if you'd like documents of these minutes, contact the board's office for it. So we get those and the clerk's office gets them.
Right.
I think the discussion is stalling until you determine whether you want to make the default the circuit court or the district attorney. I think you just have to get back to that and then you can really sort out the details after that.
That's the question. Do you want it the court or do you want the DA as the final resting spot? Or do you want it to be the board?
Well, we control the DA's purse strings. We don't control the court's purse strings.
No, but that's backroom control.
And that's
not frontline control.
No, I know. I'm just saying that...
What do you call that?
Keeping a level of separation.
There's a...
The statutes are quite satisfied with the VA.
Yeah, that's statutory.
Yeah. State level, official.
I'm just trying to think of the last one that got appealed there. The county have a right to challenge the DA's decision?
Yeah.
That wasn't a confident.
Well, because I know,
if we're saying we do not want to release that record, and the DA says, yeah, you're going to release that record.
The last one that got appealed there was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
It was a citizen who, and I'm trying to keep the citizen's anonymity, thank you. So that's why I'm kind of parsing here. But citizen wanted information that had to do with names of county employees, suffice to say. And that was a decision that my office made. And he did appeal that to the DA.
Because you denied his request.
Yes. Then it became a debate that he was attempting to engage in. And one of the bases of his appeal was that the legal counsel was not the custodian of that record. The record came from one of the departments. With an appointed department head at the top of it. And
So that's where things left off. But yes, the DA denied the request, but where the citizen was going was that the DA should have considered the request because it was, in fact, a non-elected department head and not the legal counsel who made the decision.
And DA's another elected.
Yeah.
So it should have, they're saying it should have gone to circuit court?
No, the citizen says it should have gone to the DA, but the DA said it should have gone to circuit court.
Okay, because it was your decision.
Yes.
But see, you were our designee, so it doesn't matter if that citizen believed that they were the custodian or not. You were our designee, so therefore you were the custodian.
Well, that's our take on it, yes.
For our policy.
That's our take on it. Granted, the argument was made, and I get where he's going with it. It's a certain threshold that must be satisfied. The court hasn't necessarily opined or had an opportunity to yet. But the subject of when was the last one that the DA considered was raised, and that was the last one.
When's the last one before that?
Last one before that.
Was 72,
no,
73.
No, this happens.
Yeah, how many times a year does this?
Few.
Twice.
This get eddied off? Maybe. Okay.
Not that often.
Not that often.
Yeah. I'd say a couple times a year. Yeah. There was a time when a request came in, this was a few years ago, for records that had personal identifying information of people, citizens who had contacted the county about marijuana policy. And the records were provided, but of course that personal identifying information was redacted. And that, for recollection, did come before the board. I think it was prior makeup of the board, but yeah, it did. And that did get appealed to the DA all the same. And the DA issued an opinion on that, but the county was not bound. Not only by virtue of the elected nature of this post, but also because, in my take, the Board of Commissioners ultimately did decide that those names would not be released. So that's one of the more dramatic times it's gone.
Right. Virginia. So we're not talking high frequency, though.
No, I wouldn't characterize it as such.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
And so what kind of workload transfer are you making? Are you making 4 hours a week transfer?
No. So the biggest part of this is the tracking of these requests. And the requirements just got a little bit more intense with the specter of a $200 fine that can be imposed.
What, the timeline from request to response?
Yeah, so the request comes in, it must be immediately acknowledged within a period of 5 days. And then after that, the statutory expectation is that the county
answered or acknowledged. Just say, "I got your request."
Acknowledged. The statute provides three options for acknowledgement, and of course, we'll provide training on all of this during the course. But statute provides you three options. The county is the custodian of the record, and I always try to use the exact language from the statute to the extent it's appealable or it's practical. The county is the custodian. The county is not the custodian. The county is unsure if it's the custodian of the record. We're then supposed to provide a date by which we're going to provide the actual records if the county is the custodian. Also, we have to get a consent from the requester if the record fee is going to be over $25. The form actually asks them to provide the max they're willing to pay on it, so that's how we address it now. But all the same, there's certain requirements that we have to get right away. Well, we can't lose track of that record at all under any circumstances, and that, it's me, this is my administrative team right now. Yeah. Right.
I'm it.
She's it. And so that's where we're at. We have two, open positions right now in our office, not to distract on that point, but this is the practical reality. So we have got to drop everything all the time. This is a drop everything and do the public records request.
Right.
And that's a couple times a week. Just by the nature of it, it's not really practical for me to delegate public records request processing within my office because it's got to be done fast.
Right.
Because of these timelines, and they are unforgiving. And so, 10 days after the first five is the presumptive, the expectation for when we're supposed to actually turn over the records to the requester. And usually there's some exchange, not usually, but commonly there can be an exchange that goes on with the requester, especially if there's a fee issue, because then I got to go out and contact different department heads. If it's a police report from the sheriff's office, then you got to engage with them. Or if it's something from public health, then we got to track it down. McCafferty has to drop everything oftentimes and process these impressive emails or electronic files.
Well, it sounds like everybody along the way has to drop what they're doing.
Yes.
That 5 days is going to go by really quick.
And someone has got to keep track of all this.
How is this impacted by you being an elected official that represents the whole county? versus the commissioners being an elected office versus acting another. So sheriff's office, police report, or something else like that. You asking for that document versus our staff asking for the document. Who's likely going to get it?
I've never had a problem.
I know, but you're an elected official that's representing that department versus...
Oh, I don't think you'd have a problem if it was made crystal clear. And again, the management team has weighed in on this.
Okay.
And there hasn't been any objections to this.
Okay.
I think the consistency would be a welcome change. I mean, you, what? Well,
no.
I probably think it would.
Yeah. Is
how,
there?
How is
and
there
the
not
fees
consistency
are still
right now?
So, well, one of the principal ways is that if the legal counsel denies a record that whether my office is the one who usually keeps the record or not, then it is appealable to circuit court. But if public works director denies a record, they get a lot of requests too, then it's appealable to the DA, even if it's the same record. And so that's not consistent.
Okay. You were saying something about fees?
No, I looked like some of the fees were addressed, the 25 cents and $1.
Yep.
That 25 one is still in there, though?
No. At the request of, or at the recommendation of management, we didn't address fees in this policy. I did in the first draft, but
right.
Then because we do have the uniform fee procedure,
it's addressed somewhere else.
To address it. Yeah, the fees will just be set for the normal course.
Okay.
There's disparity in fees throughout the county, suffice to say. We won't dwell on that topic for the here and now, but it's reality.
And we're also trying to put together a new records request.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more user-friendly. The one we've been using is, we have a form right now, but
right.
It's super old and
right.
Not very good.
Needs to be revamped.
Yeah, the statutory changes have been made since our form was drafted, and things are changed. Things are different now.
Just some things we realized we really need that in the form kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, and that would streamline having the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
clearly. Yeah, we can definitely improve on that.
Yeah,
and we'll shop that around to the directors as well and the board.
Any other thoughts or comments?
No. I think it's good. It's good to get the new office manager's name in some ordinance.
Order.
Or an order.
Policy, yeah.
But no, does that allay your concerns, Chair?
I don't know. But that's okay. Doesn't have to. We'll see how it plays out. It's a policy we can change down the road.
It is, and we're not going to let it fail.
Right.
Well,
it sounds like us.
Still across the hall.
Yeah, we're across the hall. It worked, you know, for the era in which it was, the existing policy worked for the era in which it was crafted.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed, and, you know, and we're definitely facing an administrative limitation right now, certainly within my office.
I hear you there. And we do want to be a part of helping that process and streamlining work and different stuff. Would the board oppose us looking at software to potentially help with the process if it would be beneficial?
We'd consider it, yeah. I think we could look at it.
All I can do is forward to you some of the stuff I got and say, or any of these, let's look at what they offer if it would be beneficial or not. So, what...
We already have one that we haven't really looked at the actual, product, but the sheriff's office has been looking at one.
Well,
they're trying to get us engaged in looking at it too, but we just haven't got time.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of the concerns I have about every department doing their own, like we were talking about office space earlier. We have a central...
hub, a point.
Yeah, let's, if we're not, have 20 off. We had that situation with the assessor's office and community development. The community development said if they realized the assessor was picking the company they were with their product, they would have gone with the same product so the communication could have happened. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they didn't do that. And
And because in reality, I'd really like to see that list every week or two, what the public records requests were. And not have a department head sending out something that we've never seen.
happens all the time.
I know.
Sure, there's many departments.
And so I like that, the part about bringing that by us, so to speak, so
but
we,
this, does this
we're more
stand
aware.
Up for those departments still doing it on their own? Because this still allows those departments to do it on their own.
Right. It does. So that's the status quo, and this is your opportunity to...
Right, well, that's something I'd like to talk about then, because talk about consistency.
Okay, so most of the records are extremely mundane. The ones that go
most
to
of the requests.
The requests, yes, that go out.
Don't insult our records.
Community, what's that?
You said most of the records are mundane.
Well, they are, actually. I go through them. They're mundane stuff.
Right.
Community development, people want a record, they want a plat. Or whatever, subdivision plat. It's pretty, surveyor's office, clerk.
Pretty ordinary.
So this stuff's pretty ordinary. So that's where people just want to know, what the mural market value is. They want to print off. And so would not encourage asking for accounting on every single request processed by the county.
Right.
But what I think in practical reality has just happened over time is that the ones that the board probably cares about are the ones that I've been handling.
Right.
Which would now come through
the board's office directly, that would be a report that can be pretty efficiently generated, I would think.
Well, we already
we could do
have,
it.
The mundane ones would still be happening.
We keep a list, yeah.
But every now and then, there must be a request that the sheriff gets that he runs by you.
Oh, yes.
Clearly.
Oh, yes. Often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that wouldn't change.
No. So, you're not talking about funneling them all through here. No, it's just funneling the ones that would have gone to you to here.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and yes, exactly, for a decision. And they would still come to me for advice and counsel.
Sure.
But not for a decision on release.
Right, and you wouldn't be the holder of the timeline.
Definitely not.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But we would be looking at it. Well, but you have to redact it.
Still be advising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would. Yeah. And we would be absolutely responsive to the requirements of the timeline, too. Mm-hmm. So not having to track the timeline would be wonderful. But when you show up and say you need our help, we get it.
Airport.
Yeah,
fair board.
We definitely
win's fair board.
We wouldn't put you off for 3 weeks.
No.
I thought I saw something. They were having a workshop tonight.
Yeah, well, I feel better about it.
Yeah. I know you'd want me to be successful because then if not, I would have to go back to you.
The fair.
You're right.
That sounded like a threat.
I know.
Just an assessment of reality.
Yes.
So, just looking at time, are there any other additional subjects or matters for the commissioners?
No.
I don't have.
I know I had one, and I'm now not remembering what it is.
A meeting on Monday?
Oh, I did get a response from our U.S. Forest Service. One, I have a written response in there. I need to get to you for follow-up. Also, Monday.
Is this meeting stuff?
It was the decommissioning of roads.
Oh, right.
The response to U.S. Forest Service. So I have that for you guys. Essentially, that we've asked to be allowed to weigh in sooner in the process, but they didn't change the outcomes as far as I can tell.
Okay.
Of the existing proposed decommissioned roads?
Correct.
Right. So you're talking about next time we'd like to be.
And we've brought that up as well as Commissioner DeYoung said that with BLM and reiterating that. But
then we met across town.
Then we met Monday, regarding the exchange of properties. And I think really the four of us should meet and then bring back a recommendation to you guys of what you would like to endorse us pursuing.
What's today?
So
and I got a little info from the parks director today.
I'm not totally blind.
I hear you. I don't know that her position and my position will be the same.
Well said.
And I don't mean that bad.
Whose
position?
No, I get that. Sarah Parks.
The Parks Director and Mike. So I would like to have us get a meeting with Cy, you, me, and...
Yeah, maybe later this week.
Sure.
Okay.
Time is running out. I will make time on Friday for you where it says unavailable on my calendar. It's my grandmother's 80th birthday celebration. We have family coming in from all over for that this weekend. Under the 100-person limit, of course.
Better get a mass gathering permit.
Totally.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out, but we need to do that so we can then come back to the group. So,
okay.
I was approached by someone that was a mineral meeting that I had this afternoon with an individual that would like the county to take a stance about minerals in Josephine County. I'm not really sure what the next steps would be, but potentially finding out if it's something the board actually wants us to take a stance on. And I think I'm trying to be very mindful of what's coming up with before I go to D.C. Well, I want to make sure that we have the language of the ONC in that and different things in place.
Well, I think that person didn't have a lot of success getting that through the mining committee.
Okay.
And so it's coming around a separate lane at you. Because they didn't take the bait, so to speak. Not to taint it at all, but yeah.
Okay, then I have nothing further. And I do want to bring up the board met with a work group about potential departments moving short term and long term. And I would recommend to the board that we pass this off instead of a commissioner heading it up, that I pass it off to Annette to follow up bringing facilities and property management and then finance, who can provide some of the fill-ins and kind of pass along to them to make a plan recommendation back to the board.
Yeah, and this needs to be put on paper somewhere, obviously, so we
can
have longer looks at it. Yeah, don't lose that. Looks good.
Well, and I forgot to add to there that, like, one thing in particular that's going to affect us. We've had ongoing heating and air conditioning issues within the legal department and finance. Like, they've lost heating and air multiple times. Right. And the recommendation of facilities is to take Arthur's office and turn that into a mechanical room. So where will Arthur go? So with the potential...
Off into the sunsets, what I heard.
Yeah, so that's one of those things that... Yeah. Instead of just one-offing one room at a time, wanting to make a recommendation of a plan.
Yep, and finding out which ones are pressuring first, you know, the priorities. Yeah.
So if it's, I just want your blessing that I'm passing off to Annette and that I'm not giving her something without your blessing.
No, and I think that therefore spreads out the input to all three commissioners, and that's a good thing.
Sure.
Yep.
So, okay. So with that said, if there's nothing further, we'll be adjourned at 4:46.